You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
She taught me a word from her mother tongue. Ayunata. Ayunata. She said the meaning of this word is don't give up. Don't give up. Stay strong against all odds. And so shall it be. Ayunata, Canada. Ayunata, Ukraine. Slava Ukraini!
That is Ukrainian President Zelensky entered the chamber of the House of Commerce today to give House of Commons today to give his historic address to Canadians. Met with a minute long standing ovation. It was quite emotional, and Canada pledging another $650 million in new funding to support Ukraine over 3 years. Arl Brown is with us now, Professor of International Relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, and with us now, Arl. Thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
Why the Zelensky tour right now? Is this a sign that perhaps interest in this war is waning? People are becoming fatigued.
It is one of the issues. When we look at the visit by President Zelensky to the United States, he had a difficult time with some of the Republicans because they are questioning whether there should be that level of aid continuing that the United States has been providing, and in many ways that aid itself has not been exactly adequate for the needs of Ukraine. We also see in Europe that there are more questions being asked. There's a dispute right now, very needless dispute, over grain sales between Ukraine and Poland that is endangering the transfer of weapons from Poland to Ukraine. There's an election coming up in Slovakia where Robert Fico, a former prime minister, basically is very pro-Russian and has suggested that he would cut off military aid to Ukraine. So when there is a friendly relationship at the level that Ukraine has with Canada, it was very important both symbolically and substantively to try to build on that relationship. And this is why we see President Zelensky addressing Parliament in a very powerful, very moving way.
Obviously, this war has gone on longer than anyone thought, especially Russia. Been at this for a while, doing a lot of the same thing, it appears, more of the same. What's it going to take for a victory here? Because it seems at times we're just delaying the agony. What is it going to take to push this over the top and get a victory for Ukraine?
Well, this has been indeed one of the issues with some people who have been saying, well, are we just delaying the agony? There should be some kind of imposed settlement. Of course, the problem with that is that you can't impose a settlement if Russia doesn't go along with it. And there's no indication that Russia would settle for anything less than the utter destruction of Ukraine, its government, and the subjugation of its people. And that would be the first step in Russia's aggressive ambitions. So I think it's not possible to negotiate with ourselves. And Russia is not prepared to indicate any kind of realistic solution. So in that sense, many have concluded that there is no substitute for victory. But victory is very difficult to achieve because Russia has had more than a decade to arm itself very heavily. And this occurred just when the West had been busy disarming. Russia has three times the population of Ukraine. They've had the advantage that when they invaded, Ukraine was not fully prepared. And then when Ukraine was engaging in a very successful offensive, a very rapid move last year in September and beginning of October, then the West was very reluctant to provide Ukraine with the kind of heavy armaments that could have sustained the momentum. Instead, much of the momentum was lost. Russia has had a chance to build very powerful defenses. And now, ironically, some people are saying, well, why isn't Ukraine doing more? Well, partly because we haven't done more. But Ukraine is making progress. And when we talk about the fact that this war has been taking a long time, it is terrible on the people, in terms of the people of Ukraine. It is really a loss also for Russia, for that matter. But in another way, this is also a positive element because it shows that Russia has not succeeded, that Russia, in fact, is failing. History and time is not on Russia's side, so there's a lot more we can do. And during this visit, as was pointed out at the beginning of this program, Canada decided to give or at least commit to another $650 million. All this sounds really positive, but I'm wondering in terms of the actual needs of Ukraine, how far are we in Canada doing? Are we doing enough? And when I look at comparisons between what Canada is doing and what some other countries are doing, then the extremely supportive rhetoric that we use and the tremendous gratitude that Ukraine rightly is showing us also camouflages the fact that we are significantly behind some other countries in terms of what we have done to help Ukraine.
It seems at times we're waiting for something to happen to Putin, whether it's domestically he gets ousted or there's a coup of some sort or what have you. Is that a strategy?
It's very reactive, and it basically a gamble. You know, if we're going to be successful, we can't count on that. We have to have Ukraine succeed on the ground. And they are engaging in a significant offensive operation, which has been slow, given what we just talked about, but it is making progress. And when we look at the total commitments, Canada has committed something like $1.8 billion, and I'm looking at the figures put out by the Kiel Institute for the World Economy, because they have probably the best figures on the aid committed to Ukraine. When we look at the military aid in U.S. dollars, Canada has committed, before this latest amount, $1.8 billion, and a total of about $8.5 billion in U.S. terms. But if you look at the total commitment, we are not only way behind the United States, which of course we can't match, or Germany, which has a larger economy, and UK that has a larger economy, but our total aid is less than that of Norway, a small country. When you look at what we have committed militarily, we are not only behind the big states like US, Germany, and UK, but our military commitment to Ukraine is less than half that of Norway's. It is about half of that of Denmark. It is about 65% that of the Netherlands. So we're behind on at that level compared to small countries like Norway, Denmark, and Netherlands, which have much smaller economies than we have. And so it begs the question, if we want to see success, what are we doing to contribute to that success in Ukraine?
Is the West as strong as it needs to be? We're hearing, obviously, issues with India, obviously, the interference issues with China and such. You know, we're hearing lots of chatter about the world order changing. Are we keeping up?
We certainly have the potential to keep up because we have the most modern, most vibrant, most resilient economies. And if you look at our capacity, you look, you know, at Canada's GDP, we're a G7, you look at the Europeans, even though we are encountering all sorts of economic issues, every country does, we are not living up to our potential. I mean, we in Canada, we're not even spending the 2% guideline on the military. Our military is in a really sorry state. We have a great deal of difficulty guarding our north, where the Russians are increasingly trying to take advantage of the Northern Sea Route, cooperating with China. So we have the capacity to do more, but we need to have the political will to do so. And that's where the danger is, not the potential, but that decision, because it is difficult to shift spending away from all sorts of social goods, which we would all like to support, whether it's education, healthcare, housing. But if we are not able to protect ourselves, then those other goals will be very difficult to fulfill. And Russia and China have very aggressive ambitions.
And many, I heard one pundit call the military an insurance policy, which is an interesting way of looking at it as well. R.L. Brown with us, professor, international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Ukrainian President Zelensky speaking to the House of Commons today, a very historic address to Canadians in a long ovation. R.L., as always, thanks so much for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.